The scripture reading this evening is 2 Chronicles chapter 35. We read the verses 1 through 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verses 1 through 19. And these verses are also the text for the sermon of this evening. There we read God's word. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord, and said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel. And prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son. And stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people, and after the division of the families of the Levites. So kill the Passover, and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,300 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. And his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests and to the Levites, Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jael, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. Conaniah also, and Shemaiah, and Nathaniel his brethren, and Hashabiah, and Jael, and Jozabed, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses, according to the king's commandment. And they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them. And they removed the burnt offerings, that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people to offer unto the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so did they with the oxen. And they roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinance, but the other holy offerings, and they in pots and in cauldrons and in pans, and divided them speedily among all the people. And afterward they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busied in offering of burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place, according to the commandment of David and Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, the king's seer. And the porters waited at every gate, they might not depart from their service, for their brethren the Levites prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the feast of unleavened bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests, and the Levites, and all Judah, and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. Beloved congregation, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And the Lord did that also in the days of the kings of Judah, because there had been several wicked kings ruling over Judah, and they had deformed and ruined the service in the temple. And then a boy ascends the throne. A boy of 8 years of age. His name was Josiah. He had not many examples around him of godliness. His father Amon had been a wicked man, and his grandfather Manasseh initially did not fear the Lord at all and did terrible things in the midst of Judah. And then this boy of 8 years old ascends the throne. But this boy, Josiah, was going to be a gift of the Lord. When he was 16 years of age, he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. And he didn't even have a Bible. He knew some of the accounts of what happened to David, his forefather, that would have been passed on to him through the history of Judah and Israel. And there were some elements in the liturgies in the temple that would have showed him some aspects of God and of the service of the Lord. And through these meager means, he started to seek the God of his father David. He had heard, obviously, what the Lord had done in the life of his father David. And he wanted to seek and to know this God, the God of Judah. And so when he was 16, he started to seek the Lord. How old are you? Are you 16? 15? 17? Well, regardless what age you are, what are you doing? Are you resolved in your heart to seek the Lord God? To find out for yourself what the true religion is all about and who the Lord Jesus Christ really is and what the Lord does in sinners' hearts? It's a discovery journey. It's something you can never... Your parents cannot teach you this. It's something you need to find out on your own, or rather, with the Lord. And those who seek me early will surely find me, the Lord says. And when you find Him, that is the most blessed day of your life. That's what happened to Josiah. And because he found the Lord, when he was 20, he started to cleanse the temple from idolatry. And he cleansed Jerusalem, the land of Judah. He ruined the sanctuary at Bethel, where the kings of Israel had worshipped the golden calf. And he ruined the altars that had been dedicated to idols around Samaria and in the land of the 10 tribes. And so this man, Josiah, returned then to Jerusalem. And then he decided to renovate the temple. There was so much rubbish there, because the previous kings had deformed and ruined the temple worship. And while they were cleansing the temple, they discovered something. A book. The book of the law. And they told King Josiah, here is the book of the law. They had forgotten that there was even such a book. While the Lord had ordained in His word that every 3 years all the people had to be gathered in Jerusalem, and there they had to listen to the reading of the total book of the law. And that book is now being read to Josiah, and he tears his clothes because he reads therein of the sins that his people had committed. And he also reads what the Lord says, what He will do to those people who commit such sins, horrific punishments, total destruction of the country, hunger, famine, distress, the sword. And he is shocked. And so he sent to the prophetess Hilkiah, no, Huldah, and asks her, through his servants, if indeed this is going to happen. And her answer was, it's going to happen. And how does King Josiah respond? Does he say, well, all hope is lost. We're going to be destroyed. The temple will be ruined. The walls of Jerusalem will be pulled down. The house of David will be destroyed. So there's no use anymore. We better stop. Just live with the facts and try to make the best of it. No, that's not what King Josiah said, because it's not about us. It's not about what we gain. It's not about our pleasure and our ease and our advantage. It's about the Lord and His name and His honor and His glory. And that's why Josiah said, let all the people be gathered together. And he entered into a covenant with the Lord, together with the people. And he summoned all the people together. He read the book of the law to them. And they all had to stand in agreement to this covenant. And then after that, he is going to celebrate the Passover. And that's what we consider in these verses. The celebration of the Passover. We consider why it was celebrated, how it was celebrated, and the effects of this celebration. The text starts with the word moreover. We shouldn't skip over words of Scripture. Moreover, after all that Josiah had done, was there still more to be done? Yes, there's always more to be done. There's always more to find out about our depraved heart. There's more to be found out in who the Lord Jesus Christ is. There is always room for more humility and for more adoration of the Lord. Even the holiest of God's children have only a small beginning of this perfect obedience, the Catechism tells us. And that's biblical. When the Apostle Paul says it was his life motto to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, that was his aim. That's what he lived for. Because there was so much more to be known in the Lord Jesus. How much more should we be like that? Moreover, is there more to be done? Yes, there's more to be done. How old we get, more to find out about who the Lord is. There's more to be done. And so Josiah wants to do more. He has the book of the law, and there he reads that the Passover feast has to be celebrated on the first month of the year, and on the 14th day, the lamb had to be slaughtered, and that's what he decides to do. even though we may still and will still be punished because of the sins the Lord requires of us in His Word to obey Him, and that is what we shall do. It was in the 18th year of his reign. Josiah was 26, young, we would say. In that year, if the book of the law was found, in that year he reestablished the covenant with the Lord together with the people, and he also initiated the celebration of the Passover. So Josiah is not despairing, but he has good courage in the Lord. Maybe it's in his heart, who knows, that the Lord would still postpone his judgments. And he knew that he in his lifetime would not see those judgments. The prophetess Huldah had told him that. But then he doesn't say, well, at least it's fine with me. No, he wants to lead the whole people into dedication, devotion to the Lord. What a gift this man Josiah was for the people of Judah. A gift of God. After all the idolatry and all the heinous sins, it is as if the Lord is glorifying Himself, glorifying His truth by raising up this one man who leads the people into the true service of the Lord. That the people see it before their eyes, how the Lord must be worshipped. So Josiah wanted to obey the Lord according to his word. And therefore the feasts prescribed in the book of the law have to be celebrated. So he decides to celebrate Passover. It should have been celebrated every year. And we would have expected the people of Judah have done that. It was the most important Jewish feast. It commemorated the deliverance out of Egypt. It commemorated how the Lord saved them from the iron yoke of slavery, from Egypt, from Pharaoh. And how the Lord had adopted them to be His own people. But it had fallen into disuse. You see, the kings of Judah had departed from the Lord. And because of the influence of pagan worship, because we have to worship like other people worship, and we can't be so old-fashioned as to listen to what that nomad people and their leader Moses had said. No, we are now more sophisticated. We are more established. And the other nations are also blessed when they pray to their gods of fertility, and they have good crops. Well, that's the evidence that it helps. So we need to do that too. We can also worship the Lord, but we must also worship those other gods and adopt their way of worship with all the sins that took place and the immorality. And because of all this, the true worship of the Lord was sidelined. It became weaker and weaker. Secularization entered in, and then God's word and God's ordinances are neglected. People who have broken with the Lord and His service often portray an untiring desire to do away with everything that's connected to Christianity. We see that happening in our society today. And so the wicked kings who had reigned before Josiah tried to undo the biblical worship. And on top of that, the celebration of Passover was an expensive feast. Many lambs and oxen had to be slaughtered. And maybe this was also a reason why the people didn't mind that they didn't have to celebrate Passover anymore. It cost so much. But King Josiah is convinced that he must remind the people of the great deeds of deliverance the Lord has done. and how graciously he dealt with the people of Israel. They must remember these great deeds of the Lord. They may not neglect to bring proper thanksgiving and devotion to their covenant God. And therefore, the king commands the reinstatement of the Passover. He wants to live in agreement to God's word. And therefore, we find therein an example for us. Our lives also need to be regulated by the word of God. We need to love God's word. We need to live with God's word. And God's word, we should study that daily, several times, so that we would be at home in the scriptures. And that God's word would be for us the norm, how we deal with one another, how we are a congregation, how our families are organized, how we conduct ourselves in our marriages, how we conduct ourselves in the office. We need to be at home in God's word and seek to live according to God's word. We must be people of the book. We need God's Spirit to apply God's word to our heart. We may pray for that. We have the whole word of God. God's word in the days of Josiah was precious, but it was also scarce. They found one book roll. And we have so many Bibles here in church, at home, and wherever. The word of God is still precious, but it's not scarce. But let us be people who love and know God's word. In the morning before we leave, that we feed on the word of God. And in the evenings when we come home again as a family, we feed on that word. And we do it personally. The young people, you need to discover the Lord. I just said, you will discover him in his word. Cherish the word. Read it. And love it. Be people of the book. There was a minister here who worked in the northern part, north of the city of London in the 19th century, Presbyterian minister John Ross. You may have heard it before. He was called the man of the book because he always carried a Bible around with him. He addressed people from the word of God. People he didn't even know, he would speak to them. And that's how he was known, the man with the book. It's not that we have to carry Bibles along with us everywhere we go, but the Bible should be in our heart. And let us be known as people of the book, that our lives will be increasingly regulated by the word of God. That's what Josiah did. Well, how was it then celebrated? The Passover feast was originally intended to be celebrated in the night before they left Egypt, the people of Israel there, and the fathers would take a Passover lamb, you know that, and they would slaughter it, and the blood had to be sprinkled on the doorposts, and then they would eat that Passover lamb with some other ingredients as a family. It was a family affair. And later on in Israel, when they came there, it was still considered to be a family event. They no longer had to put blood upon their doorposts, but the blood had to be shed. And then the lamb had to be eaten as a family. And that would continue until the Lord had designated a certain spot where from now on only sacrifices, that only there the sacrifices would be brought. And that's where also the Passover had to be slaughtered. no longer in the individual homes, but in Jerusalem at the temple. And so after the construction of the temple in Jerusalem, that will be the place where the Passover will be slaughtered. It will be celebrated there, and then that lamb will be eaten there. The Levites and the priests would conduct the slaughtering, the sprinkling of the blood. They would instruct the people why they are slaughtering this lamb, that this blood was shed as a remission of their sins, that they should have died, but the Lord took a lamb in their place, and that lamb had to die. For without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's how the people were instructed in the temple. And this was, of course, a close reference to the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And His blood has to be sprinkled upon our lives. And behind the blood of Christ, we are safe. Then the wrath of God that we deserve will not be poured out upon us. But there is remission of sins behind the blood of Christ. And the Passover, it began in Egypt, and it was concluded in Calvary. Calvary is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. And on that last Passover, the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And that's why we now no longer shed blood, but we have bread and wine. Symbols referring to the body and blood of Christ. Because the true blood has been shed once and for all. And what's your attitude to the Lord's Supper? Do you think it's a common, normal thing to attend? Or do you know self-examination? That's what the Scriptures tell us. We need to examine ourselves and so prepare ourselves and so eat and drink of the bread and wine. And the Lord's Supper is a communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's for God's children. And that's why we have a post-communion service, because we reflect on that communion with Christ. And so we celebrate this supper according to the ordinances found in God's Word. Well, Josiah wished to celebrate the Passover according to the precepts of God's law. And therefore, he also had to reinstate the offices of Levites and priests. They had to do their work in the temple as written and recorded in the Word of God. And so he charged them that they should order themselves according to their families, according to their various classes and orders. And they all had specific tasks to do according to what the Lord had told David and Solomon. And so there were certain classes of the Levites who had to be porters at the gates. They had to watch over the gates, the entrance to the temple. And there had to be other Levites who were involved in slaughtering the lambs. And other Levites would partake and have their place in the temple choirs. They all had to have their own spot. And these were no novelties. This was going back to the original institution of the Lord. Josiah did not introduce new things. He just lived and organized worship according to the book of God's law. And he charged these Levites and priests to do their work with joy, with delight. In the strength of the Lord, they had to sanctify themselves. And that's the first calling of an office bearer, to sanctify himself. In the office, we need to be holy men, men who fear the Lord personally. The cultivation of spiritual life in our own hearts and lives, that's of paramount importance. It's not about gifts. It's not about eloquence. It's about holiness, a personal devotion to the Lord. And that's something in the office we need to cultivate. That's what Josiah was telling those Levites and priests. They had to sanctify themselves. These Levites have been doing the wrong thing. We don't know all the details, but they have been carrying the Ark of the Lord around. Why was that? Wasn't it in the holiest place of the temple? Well, that's where it belonged. But that's where it no longer was. The wicked kings who had reigned before Josiah, could very well be that they had removed that Ark of the Lord and put an idol in its place, and that their Ark had been kept somewhere else. We don't know the details, but what we do know is that Josiah says that Ark has to go back into the holiest part of the temple, and that's where it stays. It's not your task to carry the Ark of the Lord around. You have to live according to God's word. So Josiah is encouraging them to do this. What a wise man this 26-year-old king was. In verse 2, Josiah set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. He didn't criticize them. He didn't go to them and say, you did this wrong and that's not correct and you haven't done this and so on. No, he encouraged them. He showed them what the Lord required of them, the beauty of his service. And so he encouraged them positively. What a wise man this Josiah was. It's much better to encourage people instead of criticizing them. By encouraging them, they will become more motivated instead of threatening them. How do we deal with our children? Are you maybe putting them down? Are you maybe criticizing them? Maybe being harsh to them, although you don't want to do that, but that's what you are doing. Look at Josiah. He's encouraging them. That's how we should raise our children. Encouraging them. Showing them the service of the Lord. Encouraging them to live in that way. And the result of all this reformation was that everyone knew what was required of him. And none left their posts. They all knew where they had to stand. And they were all there. Everything was in good order, with reverence and devotion. And they did this work with delight. With delight. And that's very important. You know, we can be active in the Lord's service. And we can do a lot of work. In the office, we can also work. And it takes work and effort. But the work needs to be done with delight. That's the first thing. It must not be a burden. It must not be a yoke. It must not be something we have to do. It must not be a drag. But it must be delight. That's how it was for the men in the days of Josiah. They did it with delight. The Lord motivated them and helped them. They helped each other. They supported each other. They did the work diligently. And they did it with delight. It gave them fulfillment. They were glad that now the proper service of the Lord was reinstated. And that was also manifested by the many sacrifices that were brought. King Josiah gave the example of giving 30,000 lambs and 3,000 oxen. And so the princes also gave willingly. And then Hilkiah, the high priest, and other rulers of the house also gave thousands of animals ready to be sacrificed. This all showed a high level of benevolence and dedication for the proper celebration of the Passover. And what did they do with all those animals? They would slaughter them, and blood would flow, and instruction would be given again and again and again. And then the people, many had come. The remnant of Israel came, and from Judah they came. From Jerusalem they came, and they would eat these sacrifices. That's why there were so many. There were so many people. And as they would bring their sacrifices, they would confess their sins and realizing that the Lord was blotting out their sins because of the blood that flowed from that animal. And then they ate the Passover with delight. They had communion with one another and with the Lord, remembering His deeds of deliverance, His deeds of redemption. And Josiah led them into this true celebration. And what were then the effects of this celebration? In the first place, there was joy. Because when the feast of Passover was celebrated, there was to be joy, a rejoicing in the Lord. That's because of the redemption the Lord has given. The Lord wants us to rejoice in Him. The Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. We must rejoice in the Lord. Even though you're afflicted, even though you may say of yourself you're poor and needy, maybe you're assaulted, maybe you're not sure if you're converted, maybe you fear you're unconverted, maybe you're ashamed of your sins, and that's a good thing, but you see yourself unworthy, that's also true, but then you are inclined then to be very downcast. Well, you can be downcast about yourself. There's every reason for that for you and me, to humble ourselves before the Lord. But besides that, to rejoice in the fullness of His salvation and in the Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done, what He is doing now, and what He still shall do. And that with the Lord there is full, glorious outcome and deliverance. It's not a rejoicing in yourself that you're saved. It's a rejoicing in the Lord. And that's what they did there in Jerusalem. They served the Lord with joy. Because that new life with the Lord is a life to be characterized by joy because of the goodness of God. Because of His mercy revealed. And when you taste His mercy, and when you taste His undeserved loving kindness for you, then there's a holy joy and an amazement in your heart that this good God looks down upon you, an unworthy sinner. And then there's a holy, sanctified joy in the Lord. A joy because of the blood of Christ shed. He gave Himself for me. I can't understand that, and I never will understand it. He gave Himself for me. What a spiritual deliverance, taking away the guilt, redeeming lost sinners. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, we could just sing. and how the Lord will govern and lead His people, that He is faithful. It's a great encouragement. Although you lack everything, He has everything to give. And He is able and willing to give. What He demands with one hand, He gives with the other. That's why there's every reason to humble ourselves and to rejoice in such a God. Do you know this privilege in your life? Have you seen what it actually means when the Lord removes the guilt from you? Then the Lord Jesus becomes your hope, your delight, your expectation. And there will be a rejoicing in the Lord. Even when you think that you are outside of His grace, that you may still rejoice in the fact that He is a God who is able and willing to save to the uttermost. And therefore my soul waits for the Lord with expectation, because He is God and faithful. That's connected to our joy in the Lord. That's how they celebrated the Passover. There was one effect. There was joy. But there's also another effect, and that is there was a deep awareness among the people that this had never before happened in Jerusalem. Not under King Hezekiah. He also had the reinstitution of the Passover feast. But what happened now was still much stronger than what happened in the days of King Hezekiah. They had to go back to the days of Samuel to recall such a celebration. The order, the devotion, the sincerity, the reverence were all so profound that the people had to confess that they had never celebrated such a Passover. And what a grace the Lord gave. Period of revival. The revival under King Josiah, the last reformation, the last revival among the people of Israel before the judgments came. The Lord was honoring Himself in wiping out all the idolatry, the golden calf service, all the heathen altars, even the high places where the people worshiped the Lord and sacrificed unto the Lord. Josiah did away with that, because only in Jerusalem were they to sacrifice to the Lord. A period of revival the Lord gave in spite of all the wickedness of those kings who had been before Josiah. Revival, that's what the Lord gave. And every generation needs to experience a revival. Also, as a congregation, we need to experience revival. When the word of the Lord becomes precious, when there are deep impressions of spiritual life, of our unworthiness, when the Lord Jesus excels in beauty, when there's a focus upon the honor of the Lord, when there's a sincere sorrow for sin and a hunger and thirst after His righteousness, that we desire to live as close to the Word of God as we can. When preaching will be uncovering the sinner, uncovering the hidden recesses in our heart, but also uncovering the Lord Jesus in His beauty and uncovering the willingness of the Lord to save to the uttermost, that we learn to tremble for God's Word, for His holiness. Well, that's how it was in the days of King Josiah. There was a deep awareness among the people. And another effect was that there was dedication. We read that in 2 Kings 23. We read there what happened in verse 24, after the celebration of the Passover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. So apparently, after all the reformation and all the cleansing and the doing away of idols, there were still wizards in the land of Judah and those who engaged in sorcery and in occultism, who pretended they could foretell the future. The Lord had forbidden that these people would be present. They had to be killed. In Deuteronomy 18, we read that this was an abomination to the Lord, and this had to be rooted out among the people. But the people are still doing that. During the reign of King Manasseh, these wizards even were appointed to serve at the royal court in Jerusalem. And Josiah now has the book of the law, and he knows these matters may not take place. So after the celebration of the Passover, there was a further dedication, sanctification, a further cleansing. And these matters are still present today. Witchcraft and occultism are increasing. When the true service of the Lord fades away, there's a void present, and people will fill it by reverting to occultism. And also today there are those who claim they can tell the future. They are liars. The Lord never told the future to the devil. The devil knows some things about the future. He knows he's going to be thrown alive into the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. That's what he knows. And he knows that he will lose all his power. And he knows also that he has a little short time. So he is unleashing all the venom that he has to try to destroy the church of Christ and to lead the people into greater wickedness. That's what he knows. That's what he's doing. But he doesn't know the future. And those who worship the devil in occultism, they don't know the future either. The Lord knows all things. This is the realm of darkness, and it brings people into slavery, into fear and bondage. But besides that, there were in the days of Josiah still people who had private idols in their homes. They also had to be done away with. Also today, people can have lucky charms, or they wear bracelets. And they say that fends off diseases and illnesses. It's a form of idolatry. It should have no place among God's children. And so King Josiah put them away, and he summoned the people to remove those idols from their homes. They may lay all their needs before the Lord, and the Lord is able to help in every need. And so our trust must be upon the Lord. That's how King Josiah is leading the people. And this only can take place through the work of God's Holy Spirit, that the God's Holy Spirit gives a sense of such sin and a sense that they should worship the Lord and trust in Him. So we need to be a people who are devoted to the Lord, that our trust is in Him. Has the Lord become our hope, our refuge? And was there another effect of this all among the people? Yes, there was. There was another effect. And that effect was that for the time being, they followed Josiah. For the time being. It seemed that they were devoted. And it seemed that they went along with that work of reformation. But their hearts had not changed. Their hearts were not renewed. How do we know that? The Bible tells us this. Where does the Bible tell us this? In the prophecies of Jeremiah. He was a contemporary of Josiah. And in chapter 16 of his prophecies, verses 11 and 12, "Then shalt thou say unto them," unto these people, "because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me." Their hearts were not changed. This reformation, this revival was the last mighty call of God. And people were taken up in all these events. And they loved it. They liked it. They rejoiced in it. But it was temporary faith. It was not true conversion. In a few years, Josiah will die. And then what happens? The people revert straight to idolatry. The Lord had been preaching it to them through Josiah, but they did not listen. The last reformation the Lord gave to them. What grace, what mercy. But the people did not love the truth with their hearts. Outwardly it seemed to be fine, but the inside was still wrong. And so we come to the most difficult question of our lives. How are things with you and me on the inside? How are we when we are alone before the Lord? How are our personal lives? Do we worship the Lord to be seen of the people? Do we worship the Lord because we don't want to be criticized when we don't come to church? Is it because of social pressure that we come to church? And that we go along and we know how to behave ourselves and what to say? Or is it that we from the inside are changed? Renewed. The Lord invites us again this afternoon. We have the privilege to be under the truth, and the Lord is able and willing to teach us all things. What needs to happen is to bow in sincerity before God, to examine our hearts. And to cry after the Lord for a broken heart, for a hunger and thirst after righteousness, for a burning love to the Lord, to be focused upon His will, to be filled with sanctified zeal, to have true delight in the Lord and in His service. And this is what makes Christian faith so beautiful. It's not a religion of do's and don'ts. It's a religion of delight and of love. And that love propels His people so that they carry on also in adversity, also under affliction, also in disappointments, because they know the Lord is still good and He will undertake for me. Do you know this delight? Do you desire to receive this delight? That we don't only display outward piety, but that we cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ that our life would be Christ, and then our death will be everlasting gain. Amen.